Julie Caldwell and Kevin Luntz vacation in Mexico with their son often. But this last trip to their favorite off-the-beaten-path village turned into a news story as they witnessed what they described as a war zone, as the city of Puerto Vallarta was burning from drug cartel violence. In spite of that terrifying experience, the family came back with a renewed sense of hope in humanity and amazed by the kindness of strangers. Here is their story. So thank you for coming in today. You guys had just gotten back from what was just to be a nice winter break vacation in Mexico. So tell me about where you went.
Well, we went to a place called Jalapa that is about 2 hours away, really, by car and boat from Puerto Vallarta. We've kind of come to know and gone to for the last couple of years, and having a great week of vacation with our son and two of his buddies who had come along.
So you had three teenage boys, is that right?
3, 16.
Yeah. Yes. They're all 16. How was that for you? Was it fun?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
The boys were awesome. They had a great time.
What kind of things do you do when you're there?
There's this really awesome waterfall that we hiked. It's about a 5-mile hike. We played Mexican croquet. And they went fishing almost every day.
And paragliding.
It's
got a lot of authenticism about it with the people there, but yet there's a lot of interesting things to do.
Cobblestone streets, no cars.
It sounds amazing.
It's just a cool little spot.
Is it still kind of secret? Are we going to out it in this interview? No, or people know about it?
A lot of people do know about
it. Yeah, okay.
I think.
A little bit off the beaten path, in particular because you have to get there by boat. That is the way everybody comes and goes, and that's the way all the food, the fuel, everything comes and goes by boat.
The boat ride? Is it like 20 minutes, 30
minutes?
It's an hour. Oh, it's an hour.
Yeah.
Well, Banderas Bay is huge. The southern point of Banderas Bay is Jalapa. The northern point is Punta Mita.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So they're literally Banderas Bay from each other. But, I mean, it looks like open ocean to everybody else because it's so big.
And look out and you see whales literally jumping from the beach, and you see manta rays and fish, and there's incredible birds. It's a spectacular place.
One of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you guys is about what happened to you. I was really struck by how deeply terrifying it was for you.
Yeah. Well, so we woke up Sunday morning, which was the day that our flight was scheduled to return. We had texted Moises that morning. Kevin had to, he was going to take our bags to the ferry dock with his ATV. We planned to get the ferry, which runs all day, to a place called Boca, which is where you typically would get a cab to go back to the airport. And so when Kevin sent that text to Moises, he responded and said, there's something going on in Puerto Vallarta. Apparently they've taken down a pretty big drug guy, and some of the roads are closed because there are some cars on fire and the public ferries are not running. I will take you guys on my private boat to the Puerto Vallarta Marina, which is only about 1 mile from the airport. That can get you close enough, and you can get to the airport probably at this point. But at this point, we had no idea what was going on.
Mm-hmm. It was about that time that the power cut off and all the cell signals cut off, and so we weren't really...
Why did the power cut off?
We're not really sure ultimately whether it was the cartel cutting the power or the government. They cut the power for the entire...
State of Jalisco. But I suspect they cut the power because, you know, cars were getting set on fire, things were going on fire, they were setting gas stations on fire. So probably just to cut the power to stop fires down the line.
That makes sense, right. Yeah.
We get down to the dock. So again, no cars in this town, only ATVs. And we go down, and he's got his boat, which is a little sport fishing boat, which we'd been out on a couple times that week. And there's a group of 15 people waiting for a water taxi, which isn't going to show. Two people said, well, is there any additional seat? And I went to Moises, and he said, yeah, we could carry some more. And I said, well, I got seats for two more people in the boat. Jump on with us. And so they jump on the boat, and we take off right at that moment. But of course, you can't see Vallarta, and we have no cell service, so we don't really know what's going on. We pull out of this bay. It takes 15 minutes to pull out of this small little mini bay into the large bay of Banderas, and we start heading across. And as we start heading across, you can see from a distance, you know, there's smoke everywhere. And I'm not talking about one. I'm talking about 50 miles of coastline.
It's on fire.
On fire. Wow. I mean, it's
so surreal. Freaky. It's like, are you, like, pinch yourself? Am I dreaming?
Right.
It's like a war zone, and we're just headed straight towards that. We're about halfway there. And we start to pick up cell signals. And what's interesting is there's two locals that are taking us, Moises and his brother, and they have a lot of friends on the mainland, and so all of a sudden they start to pick up their social media feeds.
And texts.
And texts, and they start to get this pretty horrific stuff. I mean, stuff that we weren't even seeing in the national media. Days later, I'm seeing the national media, and we weren't even seeing this stuff. And they're showing me this, and Julie, and the boys, we had three boys and then two other passengers, and we're all just staring at all of this. And I'm like, okay, I got two people on my boat. They have to go. We find out that the airport's closed, and Delta has now canceled our flight. And this is 10:30 in the morning. Moises had thrown in some jerry cans because the village didn't have any power, but he has
generators.
So, and as we get closer, now we're seeing fires and everything. We come in past a naval guard station that's partly on fire. I mean, this is insane. We're almost can't believe what we're going into.
Yeah. Now, why did you keep going? What were you imagining to do?
Moises,
by the way, he's the guy that runs where you guys stay. Is he the general property manager, or is he the owner?
So Moises, a member of the ancestral families of this village. He has some property there, a fair amount of property that he's developed, some villas and things like this. He also had lived in the United States for about 17 years until he unfortunately was forced to return without his family, who lives in California. He was deported.
The company he was working for in California had flown him on their private jet down to Juarez because he was in the process of becoming legalized. He had hired an immigration attorney who apparently had made some kind of mistakes along the way. He gets to Juarez thinking he's there to sign his final paperwork to be able to become a citizen to continue working and raise his family in California, and they say, sorry, you're not going back. And that was it.
And so he's trying to craft a livelihood in this village after 17 years of living in the United States. But he's building a business. Got a website about with his villas. He does sport fishing tours and whale watching. And we had done all this with him and got to know his family. Happened to be visiting from California that week, so we got to know his family even that week. He is taking us under his wing and said, "I'll get you as close as I can to the airport, and we'll worry about the details later. Let's go."
And we had to let the passengers we had allowed ride with us off the boat.
Oh.
The wife, she was a Delta pilot. We couldn't just turn around without letting them off the boat. So we had to go in that far to let them off.
Wow.
Then we got gas.
Refueled,
filled up all the jerry cans so that at least we knew the generators would work back in Jalapa.
Now, are you dealing with your son's friends,
families? I'm texting their family now that we are in the marina and I have connectivity. I send a text to the parents and just say, we're in a sticky situation down here. We're not able to fly out today. We're turning around to go back to Jalapa. Once we get back, we'll have generators that can connect us to Wi-Fi.
Who knows where this is going to go?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Moises was also very calming for me because the first thing I said to him was, can we stay with you in one of your villas? Do you have room for us? Mm-hmm. And he said, absolutely. As we're going back across the bay, you know, he and his brother are both kind of like, you know, we've never experienced anything like this. They're getting videos and messages on their texts that are like shootings happening at the airport, all kinds of things that turned out to be fake. Mm. I didn't know that. Kevin didn't know that. Yeah. Here we were thinking we were about to go to an airport where now there's gun violence, which there wasn't. So we get back to Jalapa, and there are a couple guys on the dock that come up to me, and they were just like, listen, we don't want to alarm you, but all of the locals who have been sitting in this restaurant have now fled back to their homes because they say the cartel is coming over the hill down into the village, and they're barricading themselves into their place. And so I, honestly, getting physically ill, and Moises is looking at me, and he said, please don't believe this. There's no reason they would be coming to our village. People are just panicking. You know,
still scary as hell.
Still very scary, not knowing what is coming.
You just saw the world on fire.
We just saw a war zone, and we're coming back. And I got two kids that aren't mine. We were walking up kind of in disbelief. We see this little place that's open and selling tacos and trying to process what's happening.
But we don't have a way to pay. There's no ATMs there. There's no, you carry as much pesos, and we had carried enough for that week, but we had gone through it. You know, once again, this family that owns this little taqueria says, you don't worry about it. We got you. We'll worry about that tomorrow. Forget about the money. Yeah. This is just taking care of
taking
the
care
basics.
Of each other, yeah. What touched my heart when I heard your story first was that Moises had been deported. It's just so hard to wrap my head around that sent away from a country, and here you are, Americans, they don't know anything about your political stance, nor does it matter.
I've talked a lot about this, but it just made me think, gosh, there's good people everywhere, mm-hmm. and I would just only hope that they would have the same kind of experience here. You know, take people in when
right.
they're in need.
Take care of each other. Yeah. Look for the helpers.
That's right. They're out there. They yeah. certainly were for us.
Yeah.
And I'm forever grateful. And then the final night we were there, which was Tuesday night, he insisted that all of us come to his home for dinner. His wife made a traditional Mexican stew for us. What they did for me as a nervous, you know, mama in that situation is priceless.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm so glad. Do you find yourself excited to go back and be in Mexico again?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We will definitely go back.
Yeah.
Maybe that's naive, but...
Well, something that was important to me when we got back was to, you know, to show some gratitude and appreciation to Moises and his family financially for helping us
yeah.
above and beyond the very little that they charged us to stay there. And both of the other families participated in that, which I was very appreciative of.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
good.
It was the very least we could do.
Well, I'm glad you're safe and back and... Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
I want to meet Moises one day. He sounds like a gem.
He is a gem.
And his family.